Since the discoveries of Benjamin Banneker and George Washington Carver, African Americans have been an integral part of this country's scientific history. Today, that influence reaches a global scale as some of the best minds of our generation address some of the world's greatest challenges like AIDS, poverty, and terrorism. In its current issue, Seed Magazine named mathematician Jonathan Farley as one of 15 people who have shaped the global conversation about science in 2005. I'm pleased to have the former Fulbright Scholar with me here in our studios to continue that conversation in 2006. Dr. Jonathan Farley, nice to have you on the program.
Glad to be here.
Tell me, what was the nature of your conversation in 2005 that earned you such a prestigious recognition?
Well, first of all, let me say that I was really going for the top 100 in the solar system. They were focusing on work that I was doing, applying mathematics to problems in homeland security and counterterrorism.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about what that means.
Well, back in 2003, when I started teaching at MIT, I met a guy named Gordon Wu, and he talked about modeling the Al-Qaeda threat using game theory, a branch of mathematics that was made famous in A Beautiful Mind. And I began to think, is there some way that I could actually use my mathematics, my branch of mathematics, which is called lattice theory, in some way that could be potentially life-saving? So if you look at a terrorist cell, like the 19 September 11th hijackers, mm-hmm. they're not just a bunch of people randomly connected. There is a leader, there are people below the leader, and people below them. So there are individuals giving orders and individuals taking orders. And what I did is I put that into the structure, the mathematical structure of the terrorist cells as they were previously being modeled, and found that you could actually better answer the question of how likely it was you've disrupted a cell under investigation.
Help me understand something, and I'm trying to follow you, and you're doing a really good job of breaking this down for me to follow, because I was not a math major. So I'm glad that I'm able to follow you in this conversation. That said, I'm trying to figure out how, with all due respect to your lattice theory that you've worked with and applying it toward terrorist cells and knowing what has been disrupted and what's not been disrupted, what that has to do with the spiritual, the emotional, the political connect that one has to a cause that he or she believes in unto death. Does that make you understand my question?
I understand you. Actually, what I described does not. But I have colleagues who work in a field called reflexive theory.
Okay.
And this is a branch of mathematical psychology which was developed by the Soviet Union and actually became a paradigm within the Soviet defense establishment starting in the mid-60s. And what this does, it enables you to model actually the emotions, model ethical decision-making. And so actually a man named Vladimir Lefebvre, one of the Soviet experts who developed reflexive theory, was actually able to model decisions of whether or not you will go to what he would call the positive pole or the negative pole. But what that really means is whether you'll make a good choice or a bad choice or an evil choice.
Let me ask a completely ridiculous question. If we have something like lattice theory that allows us to figure out how terrorist cells will operate, might something similar to lattice theory be applied to just everyday American families to figure out who can succeed, who will succeed, where the trouble is going to be, how to remove the trouble, how to deal with the trouble? Does that make any sense?
I'm afraid, Tavis, nothing can help you.
Nothing can help me. Okay. I guess my thought was, if there's something we figured out that can help us deal with terrorist cells, what about the everyday ordinary problems that we have created by everyday ordinary Americans? Is there a theory that works on that?
Well, I think generally, I love mathematics just for its own sake, not mm-hmm. because it's applied to anything, but because it's an absolutely beautiful subject.
Right.
But at the same time, if you look at what, say, the colonial powers did in Africa, we just witnessed the inauguration of a new president in Liberia.
Mm-hmm. First woman.
Yeah. If you saw what the colonial powers did in Africa, they didn't want to teach mathematics. They didn't want to teach science. They didn't want to teach engineering. And so if there's something they don't want to teach us, maybe that's what we should learn. So to answer your question in a roundabout way, I think more African Americans should actually be studying mathematics, studying science, studying engineering, so we can learn how to build up Africa and the Caribbean and, of course, our own communities here.
You know very well that there are a lot of kids today who are in the Dr. Jonathan Farley vein who are criticized ad nauseum by their African American friends for acting white. Mm-hmm. It's called, because they do well in math, because they do well in science, because they do well in their subject matter. They are teased by their African American friends as acting white. Did you have to endure that at all as a child?
Actually, I didn't, because I went to a white school. Mm-hmm. But I actually feel that I'm acting like W.E.B. Du Bois. I'm acting like Frederick Douglass. I'm acting like Booker T. Washington. I'm acting like Huey Newton. Dr. Huey Newton. Mm-hmm. So I think that we actually have to remember that academic excellence is African. We invented the concept of a university. If you go back to Timbuktu, that city is several thousand years old. You go to the library in Alexandria, which is really the library in Africa, those documents come from us. We created them and then transmitted them to the Western world, giving us everything that we have, of course, today. So I think African Americans need to remember that it's not acting white, it's acting African.
How do we energize, then, young people around that very notion you just put forth?
Well, it's very simple. What we need to do is start teaching mathematics and science by bringing into the picture the fact that these subjects have African roots. They come from African universities. They come from Africans like Euclid. They come from Africans like Ptolemy. And therefore, what students will see is that it doesn't come from the Greeks. It doesn't come from European Americans like Newton or Leibniz. It comes from us. And then more African American kids will be excited and energized by these subjects and hence go on to become engineers and industry builders in Africa and the Caribbean and elsewhere.
So second in your class from Harvard, doctorate from Oxford, Cambridge, Massachusetts, even declared March 19, 2004, Dr. Jonathan Farley Day, now senior fellow at Stanford, headed to Jamaica to...
I'm going to be the chair of the Department of Math and Computer Science at the University of the West Indies.
So what's it like being a mathematics rock star?
I don't know if I'm a rock star. I'm sort of... I like alternative music, some hip-hop. They call me the Notorious PhD. But I just love the subject, and I hope more people also will come to love it, too.
Let me close, Dr. Jonathan Farley, by asking you, as you well know, I know your brother, Christopher John Farley, star writer, editor at Time Magazine, who has recently joined the staff of the Wall Street Journal. Are there just the two of you in your family?
There are four of us.
Four of you.
I've got a brother who's a law professor at Boston College, another brother who's a lawyer.
You see where I'm going with this. Four boys, four black males in one family, each and every one of you successful in your own right. What did your parents do right? What's the story here? Because there are a lot of families who need to hear this, I think.
I think our family taught us about Africa and African history. My mother is an historian, and my father is an economist, and their love for Africa, for the Caribbean, for black people, I think, infused each and every one of us. They didn't push us, but we just wanted to do what we saw around us, which was to copy them and emulate their success.
He is a senior fellow in mathematics at Stanford University for the moment as he heads back to his native Jamaica. One of 15 people, according to Seed Magazine, who shaped the global conversation on science in 2005. He is Dr. Jonathan Farley. Dr. Farley, nice to see you. All the best to you, and glad to have you come on the program.
Glad I could be here.